This is our town.
Hey, thanks for checking out my podcast. This was the best of breakfast on Triple M this week.
Central Wheatbelt and Avon Valley
Weather. Dr. J.D. O'Regan.
With the Bureau of Meteorology.
And it's over to Helen Reed of the Bureau of Meteorology. Helen, come on down.
Hello. Yes, I am here ready to talk about some beautiful weather for today if you want some more warmth.
Okay, what's happening in the Central Wheatbelt Weather Department?
Well, we don't have much happening. We've got another warm day in store. We've got looking at about 29 or 30 degrees right across the region. We do have a bit of high cloud. Now, if you happen to be up early enough to catch the sunlight as it came over the horizon underneath that high cloud, lots of gorgeous colours. So that's not quite the silver lining of the cloudiness, but we do have the idea, just a bit of high cloud, but lots of sunshine coming through as well. And unfortunately, that's going to be the way for quite a few days now. Mm. If anything, we're going to get just a fraction warmer as we head into tomorrow and the weekend.
Okay, that's fantastic news. Any precipitation on your radar, Helen?
Well, if you're looking at the radar across Western Australia, I'd have to say no, because even the stuff that's been happening up in the Kimberley has drifted offshore today. If you're wanting to see action happening, you're going to have to look at Queensland or New South Wales. So,
And we caught up with Sam Fricker from the Beverley CRC. Sam, this Saturday, what happens?
So we've got the Beverley Community Markets, which is held on the first Saturday of every month.
Okay, paint a picture for us. What does it look like?
So it's held at the beautiful Beverley Town Hall, and it starts at 8 a.m. and finishes at 1 p.m. We have, you know, plenty and lots of great stallholders. So we have everything from gifts to fresh produce. We've got crafts, woodwork, preserves, jams, you name it. We've got it, I think.
And we spoke to Dr. J.D. O'Regan. Carwin, we're chatting to Dr. J.D. O'Regan. She's a lecturer in contemporary music practice at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music. That's quite a mouthful. J.D., thanks for joining us on Triple M.
It really is. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Carwin.
So you're an expert in pop music?
I am. Can you believe that's a thing?
That's a, well, look, you're an expert, so explain Bruno Mars. Like, how did he slip through?
Look, depends which song. I could go any avenue, truly.
Now, the reason we're talking to you today is because 50 years ago, ABBA released this cracker. They won Eurovision with that?
Yeah, what a tune. Yeah, so in 1974, this is where ABBA took out the Eurovision Song Contest with Waterloo. They'd actually attempted it the year before in 73 with their song Ring Ring, which you might remember, but they didn't make the heat. They didn't go forward into the comp, but in that year between Ring Ring and Waterloo, they wrote that song specifically for Eurovision, so it was almost like constructed for success. They were really sure that this was going to be the one, and it was.
Mm-hmm. Did they know when they wrote it was going to be played at every wedding you ever go to?
Absolutely not. I don't think so, but I'm sure they're delighted.
So it set them up for stuff like SOS and Dancing Queen?
Yeah, absolutely. Mamma Mia. Like, there's just a string of insanely successful pop songs. And especially here in Australia, I think Australia in particular has a real fondness for ABBA. Mm. Waterloo didn't make it to number one in Australia, but it did break the top 10. Mm. But many singles after that absolutely took the number one spot.
Mm. Why were they so successful? Because, you know, back in the day, people were doing ballads and that sort of stuff at Eurovision. How did ABBA get so much cut through?
Yeah, well, I think it was their presentation, right? So we think of Eurovision these days as like this insane thing that's full of like fireworks and people on like trapeze and flying through the air. And it's all kind of lent into the sort of drama and kind of silliness, I guess, of what pop music can be. But in 1974, and if you actually watch the footage of them performing it, the stage is very 70s, but not particularly flashy at all. But then they come out in these shiny, beautiful outfits. They're gorgeous. Glitter and flares and, you know, hair stuff. It's really amazing. And I actually kind of think that we owe, for those of you who love the glamour and silliness of Eurovision, I think it stems back to ABBA bringing a bit of sort of, creativity, I guess, to the aesthetics.
That's absolutely true. I mean, everybody, you know, sort of takes notice of Eurovision, and it's because of ABBA.
Yeah, I think they were our kind of way in. It was like our invitation to go, hey, you're welcome here. Like, maybe this is something you'll enjoy, you know, and to be able to connect to the other side of the world.
Dr. J.D., again, every wedding you ever go to, they're going to play this one, aren't they?
Totally.
How did Dancing Queen come about?
Well, what I really love about, well, it's great you brought up Dancing Queen, and I think Muriel's Wedding actually did contribute to Australia's love of ABBA, for sure, for those of us in the 90s. What's amazing about Dancing Queen is, like, part of my area that I do research in is about pop hooks. Mm. So, like, the catchy bits of songs that, like, stick in our head.
Yeah, right.
Dancing Queen, if you listen to that song, almost every element is, like, a crazy successful hook. Like, the lyrics are, and then there's that beautiful string bit, there's the piano that's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, every tiny bit, it is so beautifully constructed. Like, it's actually a really sophisticated song. I know it's like, oh, you just chuck it on at the wedding, but if you actually sit down and, like, listen to the beauty of, like, all of, how thoughtful and how clever that song's put together, it's like, it seems so effortless, but as a musicologist, when I think about it, it's like, wow, how much work went into making this feel like it's easy. Mm.
Well, people think it's quite simple, but not to geek out on the music side of it, it's actually a very complex song. And same with Waterloo. Yeah. Do you reckon when they wrote this sort of stuff, did they write it with the, you know, did they write the hooks first and write the song around it?
I mean, that's such an interesting question about, like, are the hooks like garnish that's sprinkled on the top, or are they actually kind of the foundation of, you know, what a song's about? I think for ABBA, they were amazing pop scholars. Like, what they're drawing from in Waterloo is, like, all that kind of 50s rock and roll that came back in glam, you know, glam rock in the 70s. But the way they did it, it was, like, also bypassing through, like, the Beach Boys and, like, the Phil Spector kind of wall of sound stuff. So it's like they had a really unique take on a glam sound. And with the female vocals at the front, it was actually quite, it set them apart from, like, other glam bands, like, I don't know, like David Bowie or like T-Rex or stuff like that.
Yeah, they certainly were unique. What are ABBA doing now?
Well, I think, I don't know if you've heard about this, but they have a show that's going on currently, I think in London, where you go and see ABBA and it's holograms. It's literally holograms.
Right.
They're a really interesting band because they just stopped touring and were like, well, we'll never get to do it again. We're never going to write another song.
Yep.
Like, we're done. And after so much pressure of, like, come on, millions of dollars trying to coax them back onto the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the way they thought, all right, we'll say yes to this if we don't actually have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they did release a record maybe 3 or 4 years ago that was really delightful. So they did finally get the band back together, but just not maybe in person on stage.
Well, fortunately, Australia's got Bjorn Again, which are amazing. If you've got a couple of seconds now, YouTube Bjorn Again playing live. Now, today is the 50th anniversary of Waterloo. So we're chatting with Dr. J.D. O'Regan. She's a lecturer in contemporary music practice at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music and an expert in pop music. J.D., Dr. J.D., thanks for joining us on Triple M Breakfast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.